ethics of science and asking questions or formulating questions on a research plan. From an ethical point of view, one could say that a good scientist, that is a virtuous scientist, is knowledgeable on the issue, on what kinds of questions one is asking. And this is not a trivial matter, especially from a student's point of view, when one might not be that experienced in looking into conceptual issues on questions. However, we could categorize scientific knowledge into two broad categories of descriptive science and explanatory science. And the questions that are asked are related to the type of research that is done. Now, oftentimes the scientist, when looking into a new area of research, one needs to start by describing a phenomenon, describing whatever the object of research is, and giving a good description that is accurate or is somehow enlightening is one type of research. But after a phenomenon is described, obviously a question of why is it so comes up, and that is a question that relates to explaining a phenomenon. Now, if one seeks for correlations between variables, one might be trying to describe, simply describe an issue, but one might be also trying to find causes of a phenomenon, and if this is done well, then correlations can give indications of causes and effects, and thereby producing explanations for phenomena. This is an issue that goes into epistemology, and I will not be dealing with epistemological issues any more deeply at this point, but one ought to recognize that the type of research that one is planning to do needs to be competently recognized. Now, relating to questions, aspiring scientists often make the mistake of asking too big questions. A competent scientist is able to choose a question that is of a manageable size, so to speak. When doing a plan to research, one should somehow be able to realize what it takes to answer a question. More often than not, the research task turns out to be too large if one settles with the first question. One way to deal with the size issue is to break down the question into smaller pieces, and then perhaps take the pieces one by one, or perhaps narrow down the research plan so that a manageable small piece can be dealt with. Right, so formulating the question is about the size, but also relating the question to other questions as well. One ought to realize what kinds of questions have been asked previously, and perhaps if one knows what kinds of research is done in the field on relating questions, then that might affect the question that a particular researcher wants to ask. Researchers might want to avoid doing research on a very similar subject than other researchers are working on. On the other hand, some questions are rather important, and there's a competition as to who is able to solve a question first. Important questions seem to attract attention, and it is the case that many times the fierce competition turns out to be good for the first researcher, but not so good for the runner-ups, so to speak. Okay, that's one thing. One ought to be aware what's happening on the field, and also one ought to knowledge-wise be sensitive as to what other questions that are related to the problem needs to be answered, and how they are related. Is the question answerable in principle, and is the question answerable from the practical point of view? That's one thing. Students might not realize how big or difficult a question is when first pondering on what to do research on, or what to do, what to investigate in a master's thesis or in a dissertation. Methods, resources, time, and all that comes into play from the practical point of view. From the theoretical point of view, I think that an experienced researcher is a good help for a student when trying to narrow down a research question and evaluating whether the question is answerable at all. Okay, so this is an odd bunch of questions relating to the formulation of a research question. Undoubtedly, there are other aspects that need to be addressed as well. But questions like these, they relate to the virtues of a scientist. That is, being a competent scientist involves in being able to ponder upon a question and choose the question wisely. Right, so this is what I wanted to bring out relating to the question formulation.